Jim Hunter Media Center. We're going to continue on with our pre-race availabilities for today's Goodyear 400. And we're joined by a pair of NASCAR Hall of Famers with deep ties here to Darlington Raceway. We have Kurt Busch and Harry Gant. Well, Kurt, I'm going to start with you. You know, here you're forever etched in history as being part of the closest finish in Darlington Raceway history, closest finish in NASCAR Cup Series racing at the time. One thing that really stands out to me is even after Ricky Craven wins that race, you go over and congratulate him in victory lane as a race fan, because it seemed like, you know, you were just so excited to be part of history in that regard.
Yes, sir. No, thank you. And we're missing the Hendrick family. We've been running around as just a duo from the Hall of Fame. But a special moment here at Darlington, and that event, that race we put on, me and Ricky Craven at the end, I mean, he had no idea that I was going to take the gloves off like I did. And then, of course, he took his gloves off, and we battled it out, and something that went down in history, and it still is, and it's one of those moments where you feel it. You feel it when it's happening. And I just was hoping and praying when I crossed the line that I'd see my number on top of the pylon in the center, which is still almost the same scoreboard. And, oh, it was number 32 above the 97. But what happened through those final, I don't know, five laps was something that was very special, because we didn't wreck each other. One car didn't end up in the fence. I mean, we're both in the fence, but you know what I mean? Like, we weren't wrecked, and someone was in the infield. It was that we had the respect to know how to race the track and each other at the same time. And so that's where I had to go to him. And Ricky, I would tell the story. If he was here, Ricky Craven would say, "I thought you were coming to punch me." And I gave him a big hug, and I said, "I think we just did something special." And so I should get a tattoo. I mean, I've told this story 2,000 more times, and I'm hopeful maybe I'll win the race if I tell it another 2,000 times. And I say that number because of losing by 2,000ths of a second. But it's been a fun ride to enjoy the story and to have that friendship with Ricky Craven. And even up in New Hampshire, that summer when I went up there to race, it seemed like I gained, you know, tenfold of the fans, because they knew they saw something special with their hero up there.
Now, Harry, here at Darlington Raceway back in 1991, you started a remarkable four-race winning streak here at Darlington in your 50s. How did you stay in shape to be able to perform at such a high level back then?
I was younger. Oh, this was my favorite place. I come here 1955, and see my friend Rex White. He's from Taylorsville. He was won the championship one time, and I come here and watch him race. And Farball Roberts, everybody was racing. And to be the folks that did not see it then, they started three wide. And some of the cars still had headlights, you know. And then it was blowing tires out. And I know Bud Moore, I think his car won the race, but he sent somebody downtown somewhere and got some truck tires and put on there. And I was seeing Kale go over the fence down there in one and two. But I come back every year to Darlington to see the race. And back then it was on Monday, Labor Day. And so when I started racing, if I raced on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'd come back down here Monday to see the race at Darlington. And the best thing I ever heard in my life, I was just so tickled. I had a 57 Chevrolet then, and Farball Roberts had a number 22 57 Chevrolet. And they announced Farball Roberts starting on the pole. And I said, "Boy, that sounds good. Real good." And I wanted to try to get to do that someday, and we accomplished it yet. And we come down here and slept on top of trucks. And it's a whole lot more modernized now than when it was then. But I enjoyed it. I think about this all the time. I think about this being a favorite race. It was not a hard race. It was just a patient race. And I know the first lap I made to practice down here in the school car, what was Beebe's car the first time I guess come, and it felt like a home just right off the bat. So that's the reason I run good here at all. But I come to so many years before I ever got to race here.
And That's incredible. Well, we're going to go open the floor for questions. If you have a question for these gentlemen, we'll get a right of this microphone to you. We'll start there with Trenton.
Trent Warsham, franchise.com. This is for Harry. Harry, as much as you've won here at Darlington, have raced here at Darlington, how much does this track stay the same with as much as NASCAR changes, you know, with the next-gen car? You can just turn on the TV or come to a race and still see these guys sliding around, you know. Is this like the one race you can watch that still looks like it did when you were racing?
Well, to me, every time I come here, even just to practice, it's the same place. And you can get in and race without any practice. And do good, because it's just an easy track to get used to.
Go next to Dalton.
Hey guys, Dalton Hopkins with Front Stretch. For both of you, have either one of you gentlemen ever been fined for fighting another driver?
I came out of nowhere. too many times to count, I think. I always wondered where my fines went. I guess it went in a points fund, I think. That's why I had to run better, so I can go get my money back. I've been fined a few times. You've never been fined for fighting anybody? You've never been fined for fighting anybody, have you?
I don't think so.
All right. Yeah. No, I got a funny Hall of Fame story. So we go to the jacket fitting, because it's the blue jacket, and it's its own hue. And we did a lot of things together this past year. It's been fun. And it's fun to tell the stories. And this jacket fitting, I'm up there for about 40 minutes. And I told the guy I was a 40 regular. And he's measuring this arm length, this collar size. It's just all a mess, but it's happening. Right? I'm going to have one of the nicest jackets that I own. I ask Harry, he's right there waiting patiently. I go, what size are you? You said 46 regular, right?
Yeah.
He puts on the 46 regular, and it fit like a glove. And I said, the legend is true. That's why he's Mr. Handsome Harry Gann.
Jacket fit.
Do we have any additional questions? We'll go to Kelly, and then we'll go to Matt.
KellyCrandallRacer.com. Kurt, is the 2003 race from here the most you get asked about or talked about with all you've accomplished in your career? It seems like this one is the one everybody, especially when we come here, wants to talk about.
It is. It's a fun story to tell, though, because of the special moment that it really was at that time. And, you know, winning a championship is a story I get to tell a lot. Winning Daytona, sweeping the All-Star race or the 600 that year, you get those fun wins, and then you have that second place finish or the one that got away. And then you have the moments about fights or fines. There's the highs and the lows in a lot of areas, but the 2003 Darlington finish is something that it sits in the top 10, it seems like, of our sports history. And I'm proud to be part of it, even though I didn't come away with the trophy. But I do tell a lot of people there's a couple tracks that got away from my career, and this Darlington track is number one. Number two is Watkins Glen. I never won a cup car with a cup car at Watkins Glen, even though I dominated every Busch Series, Nationwide, O'Reilly, and Indianapolis. And that's why I had to go to run Indy and get an Indy car, just to go and run better in an Indy car than a cup car.
Go next to Matt.
Matt Weaver, motorsport.com. For Kurt, when you had your confirmation announcement at Daytona that you were stepping away for sure, you told us at the time that your intent was to become 2311's like chief fun officer, I think was the line you used back then. Have you succeeded in the last couple of years of being the fun officer?
I have. You know, it's fun to be part of the program and, you know, chief innovative officer. I was just making up any kind of CFO, CIO, C whatever, because to leave my fingerprints with a race team, that was something I always had in mind. I never wanted to get into ownership, but to be able to coach younger drivers and to be a mentor with Bubba in the beginning. Bubba had never had a teammate at the cup level before I showed up at 2311. And then to have the car up and running, of course I wanted a little bit more time, but we were able to get Tyler Reddick there sooner. And so the program got going sooner. But there were so many new hires of crew members, engineers, marketing members, And to be able to walk these garages and to go to the racetracks for 23 years, I was able to point out certain things to help them do their job easier. Or you might want to think about this. And those are things I did at the race shop as well. And it's been fun to be part of that culture. And I think the culture that we all live in today, people have to help each other more so. And the way that we run 2311 is everyone now is at that point where they can almost do that other person's job next to them. And that's why I think we're hitting a good stride. And it's fun to see the peak right now.
Yeah, kind of to that point, that was the follow-up I wanted to ask. I'm curious, out of all the successful programs you've been a part of over your career, what are the things that you see 2311 doing right now that every championship caliber program you've been a part of also had?
It just seems like there's all the work getting done, and then there's all the extra time that people have to enjoy their hobbies and to be away from the track or to be away from the race shop, because you have to balance that out. I see just the energy level so high when they're focused on doing everything, and then the quick responses with what has to get done, either from the wind tunnel data or for a marketing event. And something I've helped out with at 2311 is trying to lessen the driver's workload with appearances and do things so that their Sunday morning or even during the week isn't as stressed. And I think that Bubba has found stride being a father. I know Reddick was going through things last summer with his childbirth, and that's something I've focused on with them as well, is time at home and making sure that family is first and NASCAR is second.
We're going to go to Tim, then we'll wrap up with Barry.
Tim Moore Motorsports today. I have two for you, Kurt. The first being, and you kind of referenced it, obviously it kind of dug at you every time you came here, just not being able to win here. But what goes through your mind? Because I know, like, your brother talks about wanting to win the Daytona 500 and how much that would mean. How much for you was it in the conversation every season talking about Darlington, wanting to win here? Was it like a constant conversation throughout your career, or was it just more of week at a time?
No, I really wanted to focus to win here. And Harry Gant said it right with being patient with the car. Like, the track just talked to you right away. The track talked to me. I sat on the pole here as a rookie at the Southern 500, but it was by accident. I didn't know you were supposed to lift in turn two. I thought you were just supposed to hold it wide open through there, and Jeff Gordon was so mad. Oh, he was pissed off. But I always ran too strong at the beginning of runs. I wasn't smart enough to conserve my tires in the proper way and also hold that track position. And then things changed over the years. Pit crew became more of a responsible factor in how you win this race. We saw that yesterday. Kyle Larson can lead all the laps, but if a pit crew doesn't get him out first, he doesn't win. I've seen that time and time again with Denny Hamlin winning here, or when Biffle won a bunch. Even Eric Jones. Eric Jones is good here. He's got a couple wins, but the pit crew was responsible for a large part of it. It's just evolution.
And I know you didn't have a lot of time in the next gen before you retired, but I'm just wondering from your perspective, because I asked Kyle Larson yesterday, and he talked about how refreshing this horsepower change was. Just from your perspective, how refreshing is it? And is it good, again, to see about maybe 3-4 seconds of fall off at tracks and a lot more off-throttle time?
Absolutely. The more power we can pour on them is where drivers don't have that security blanket, or they're learning something new, or going down into turn three, ripping it. You know, it's a fun feel to have when you have that horsepower. Fun fact, I still think I've got a couple track records at Texas and at Vegas that'll stand the test of time, because that was a track period of time where we had close to 900 horsepower. And I think the pole at the recent Charlotte race was a second and a half off, or Vegas was a second and a half off where my track record sits. That's what we want to see, more horsepower.
Go to Barry.
Yes, this question's for Harry. When you had those multiple wins in September, what did that mean to you in your career at that time? And then at that age, to be able to pull off what you did with those back-to-back wins in that September year?
Yeah, so he's asking you about your winning streak.
Is asking about the four races in September, as far as just the feel and how you did it and how it happened and this is and how like your body and all that.
Well, to me, it's just Darlington's always been easy, and I can go out to test the car, second lap, be about as fast as it's going to be, and but it's something that avoid. This thing had a lot of small problems there, like coming off the fourth turn. When I come down here a good while back with Andy Petrie, and he had a Skoal car to take some pictures of the coming back down here at the time they were fixing it there, and they had put a new wall up. And I see all this black rubber around the top, right next to the wall. You couldn't come close to doing that because the front stretch wall went in like this and down. And I was following Pearson in a bush race. He was driving his son's car. He come flying under me, and I eased out of it, and he come off that corner and just, I mean, knocked the far out of that wall. And I come back with Andy Petrie down here. How them cars going around next to the wall? And this guy told me, said, they tore the wall down and moved it back in, and it's not there anymore. Now, see, that made a problem, a real problem for cars, everybody. But I learned early, don't come off very wide open. Get down and drift out and down the straightaway. Because I saw a lot of cars right in front of me just bounce off of it. But it picked the speed up overall by doing that. And it looked a whole lot different when I come down here. That's what, a year or two ago,
yeah.
Maybe longer than that. And I said, man, it's just, it opened it up there. So I was watching the race last night, and they just run right against the wall all the time down there. But you didn't do that. That was not even close. So it's faster, and it's better. It seems like it's a lot wider because you couldn't pass before down low. Two cars was harder getting around down the straightaway and get set for the corner there. But I just watch this race every year from the time I was 15. In 1955, I come down here, I'd watch them run, how they didn't make a lot of changes. But I always followed, like, Farball might be my favorite. And the way he drove the car and got accustomed to the track. And I got a grandson that races some, and he hadn't won a whole lot of races or anything. But I was telling him the other day, I said, it's something you get into and you study about your car and you study about it getting tore up. And I said, you can't think about anything and just going down that straightaway and looking to a second turn and the fourth turn. Don't look at the three and the one. Don't look at them turn. Junior Johnson told me that. He said, look there. And you'll shoot in there and you'll see a line that you're supposed to be in, and you'll get it. And so anyway, I told him all that the other night. He raced last yesterday. He finished second. So I guess he learned a little bit. but it's something you got focused on. And like me coming here, more than Kurt and me, all them times I come, you know, and I'd be watching it from the stands, not on TV, and I seen how the better driver's done. They just got it programmed there, you know. You ain't thinking about wrecking, you ain't thinking about passing nobody, you just got it to the floor, and gently.
Well, gentlemen, I really appreciate you both being here today. Appreciate everything you've done for the sport of NASCAR, what you're going to continue to do for the sport of NASCAR as Hall of Famers, and I want you to enjoy today's Goodyear 400.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you.
Thank everybody for coming.